Hey everyone, welcome to the Pot Awareness Podcast, and thanks for joining me. This podcast is specifically for about educating and raising awareness for animals and rescues and organizations across the United States and world. It really goes a long way towards this mission when our listeners rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and all of our other podcast platforms. Also, be sure to check us out on our official website at pawawareness.org and on social media at TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at pawawareness_podcast. You can check us out for all of our latest bits and clips of our podcast, as well as Pet of the Week and Pet of the Month. If you're listening and involved with an animal rescue organization or have a story of your own that you want to share, reach out to us at info@pawawareness.org and we can get you on the podcast. Thanks for watching, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Paw Awareness Podcast. Today I'm grateful to be speaking with Allison Driscoll, the president and co-founder of the Caribbean Canine Connection. And I wanted you just to go ahead and introduce you, what you guys do, and I think it's really awesome. So go ahead and take
it
away.
Thank you so much. Well, we appreciate it. We really appreciate this opportunity to come on the podcast today and explain a little bit about what we do. But basically, Caribbean Canine Connection, we actually, it'll be our 2-year anniversary coming up on May 9th. And what we do is we try to connect dogs and puppies in need in the Caribbean to reputable rescues, fosters, and adopters up here in the United States. We plan to branch out into Canada. Unfortunately, COVID put a damper on those plans, but we hopefully we'll branch out to Canada in the near future when COVID gets settled down. And the reason that we kind of started this organization is because my husband and I travel to the Caribbean frequently. It's actually the only place we go on vacation. So we began really seeing the need down there. I'm sure folks that have traveled to the Caribbean have experienced this, that it's dogs are just skin and bones. They're walking around stray. They need care. They need owners. There's no adopters. And it's really heartbreaking. Not only that, I do like to tell folks this, even though it's hard to hear, unfortunately, dogs are not treated very well in the Caribbean. They're viewed like we view a spider or an ant. I'm the type of crazy person that I actually save spiders and ants and bring them outside. But I know most people just kill them, get rid of them. You know, this is a nuisance. And unfortunately, that's how folks, I shouldn't say all folks, but many folks in the mindset is down in the Caribbean that this animal is a nuisance. So let's get rid of it. And unfortunately, there's a lot of very sad and upsetting things that go on, poisonings, putting live litters of puppies and dumpsters, drownings. And it's very hard to hear that, but it is reality down there. But the good part is there's so many folks that have come together and seen that and just come together to say, let's do something about this. And so that's why we kind of wanted to start our organization to facilitate. There's so many puppies in need in the Caribbean, and there's so many wonderful adopters and fosters and rescue organizations up here. So let's make that connection and get the puppies up here and safe into wonderful lives.
Yeah, that's amazing. And like you said, sometimes it's hard to hear some of that stuff, but it's the reality of it. And
yes,
just being aware of it, I think, is so important. And what does it look like, right? Like, so if someone comes to you and they're like, hey, I want to, you know, get a dog from you guys.
Yep.
Like, how does that whole process work? Sure. Do they pick it up when they show up, like when they go down there? Do you guys ever ship them out to people who don't travel down there? What does that look like?
Yeah. So what we do, it's kind of like a three-pronged process. We connect the puppies both to direct adopters up here and also to rescue organizations up here. So I have, when somebody reaches out to us and says, hey, I want a puppy, I want to adopt a puppy or a dog from you, I have them fill out our adoption inquiry questionnaire, which is kind of just getting a feeling for the puppy or dog that they're looking for. And then what I'll do is I'll see where they're living. And I have a separate list of folks that have volunteered to transport. So when folks volunteer to transport, they're down in whatever Caribbean island they're in. And then what I do is I connect with a rescue organization down there on the island. I have connections in all the different, pretty much all, I would say 80% of the Caribbean islands. I'll connect with the rescue organization down there. I'll say, hey, I have somebody up here that wants to adopt in the New York City area. And then I'll go down my list and say, hey, we have somebody that's willing to transport to the New York City area from you know, St. Thomas next Saturday. Let's get these folks together. And I do a WhatsApp or a Facebook Messenger group, because that's easier to for the folks down in the islands to communicate. So I do that group. We get everybody together and we kind of facilitate the whole process of getting the rescue down in the island, to connect to the transporter that's willing to transport the dog. And then they fly, and I have a communications group going the whole time. We follow the whole process there. We call it the freedom flight. We follow the whole process of their freedom flight from start to finish. And then the puppy gets off the plane at the airport and is either greeted by an adopter, a foster, or sometimes we connect to rescue organizations up here too. So it's neat. It's kind of neat to see the whole process unfold. And, you know, the rescues down there show us what the pups come from. They come from living by the dumpster. They come from wandering on the beach by themselves or in the city by themselves. And then just to see the process of how they're rescued down there. They're usually put in foster prior to us flying them up here. And then a lot of times it's not just, you know, dropping them off at the airport, because folks that travel to the Caribbean know that a lot of times you fly into a major island and then you take a ferry to another island. So a lot of times it's actually a cab ride to the ferry dock, a ferry ride for the pup to the main island where the airport is. Getting a ride from the ferry dock to the airport, meeting your transporter at the airport, flying into the city that you know your transporter is flying into, and then meeting your adopter or the rescue organization when they get off the plane. So it's a lot of folks involved, in even a rescue of one pup.
Do you guys ever, I know that you've been around for a couple of years, do you ever get like messages from older people who adopted a dog and just like to see how the dog is doing, like compared to where it was, right? Like update stories or anything like that.
Oh yeah. Oh, constantly. I've unfortunately been so busy. I've been trying to put together like a lot of before and after stories. I just haven't had time. Hopefully this summer I'll get a bit more time, but all the time. And, you know, it brings tears to my eyes, honestly, to see where they were. A lot of times we see them skin and bones hanging around a dumpster, you know, with their siblings or mother by themselves. And then we see them living a life of luxury when they're up here, you know, being treated like kings and queens. And it's really, really amazing to see. It's very heartwarming. It still brings tears to my eyes every time I see where the dog was at and where it's at now. It's a miracle. It really is.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And I wasn't aware that's how kind of dogs are treated down there in that kind of environment. So that's good to hear, just to kind of bring some awareness to it. How do people find you guys? Like, what's that like? Do you guys have like billboards in the airport or something? Like,
actually, our trips down to the Caribbean, we used to go, my husband and I used to go twice a year, once in the fall and once in the spring. We haven't gone a while because of COVID, but we did able to manage to sneak down to St. John last year, and we got stickers made up and we got business cards that we left, and we just kind of posted them all over the restaurants and hotels and bars, and left our business cards with folks, you know, folks, businesses in the island and with the animal shelters there. But a lot of it, honestly, is word of mouth and social media. We've really gotten a good following on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram. We have a website. Unfortunately, it hasn't been updated in a while because I'm too busy trying to keep track of the Facebook and Instagram. But it's just a lot of it's word of mouth, honestly. And then, you know, I have had folks tell me, hey, I was hanging out at this bar and I saw the sticker there. I'll bring a puppy back. And I'm like, great, let's do it. So yeah, that's usually how folks find out about us, either through word of mouth or, you know, social media.
That's really cool. And I'm interested to know, what would you say, I guess, obviously getting a dog from the Caribbean to, you know, the States, there's going to be some costs there, right? And what does that look like in terms of, I guess, is it like multiple parties that are sharing that cost? And if so, what would you say is the average cost per dog, like from whatever type of treatment it goes through to, you know, to its forever home?
Yeah. So as far as the flight is concerned, puppies actually have to have a plane ticket. And the plane ticket for, yes, they do. Yep, they do. They have to, or it's a fee for them to travel. The fee for most airlines is $125. For a couple of them, it's $200. And, you know, so if we send two pups up, because a lot of times a husband and wife, or even we have, you know, adult children that are traveling, or even teenagers can bring pups, they'll have multiple bags. So, you know, we can have a cost of $400 to send, you know, three or four pups. A lot of times the rescue organization down in the Caribbean will will cover that. And it's tough for them. They're honestly in the red a lot, but they just do a lot of fundraising. I work with one particular organization that actually was my inspiration. They're called Paw BBI. That's where I got my first island dog from. And they just are fundraising nonstop, whether it's a big fundraiser or a small fundraiser. They just constantly are bringing awareness and fundraising. And, you know, of course, they don't have much money and they're in debt a lot, but they don't care. You know, their first thing is the lives of the pups, and they just do constant fundraising to cover those funds. And then sometimes the rescues up here stateside will pick up like part of the fee, you know, part of the fee for the plane ride. But of course, there's other costs associated with getting the pup vaccinated and a medical certificate and, you know, certificate to fly. So I would say to fly one pup, it's probably $250 to $300. So it's not cheap, but you know, it's a lot of organizations come together. And then if we do a direct adoption where we actually have the adopter waiting at the airport, the adoption fee will usually cover that. So that'll go towards all those fees for the flight and the medical bedding and all that stuff.
That's awesome. And I figured it was something like that. There was like some kind of combination. And
yep.
Mm-hmm. I want to know too, what are some of the challenges? What's one of the biggest challenges you guys face? Like that you think if you could just wipe that challenge away,
yeah,
you would do that.
Honestly, the biggest thing is there's just too many pups. There's too many pups. I wish I could bring them all up here. There's so many. You know, the Caribbean, a lot of organizations are doing great working on it, but spay and neuter is a big thing. You know, we really have to get the pups spay and neutered so we don't have as many pups. But probably the biggest challenge probably is financial, because it does cost, you know, $300 or so to transport a pup up here. But I, you know, everybody really does come together to try to fundraise, and all of us have pulled money out of our own pockets because you see that face and you know it needs to be saved. So it's, you know, people, I've met so many wonderful folks through becoming involved in this, and dog people, and I'll say animal people in general. It's just they care and people chip in when needed. So I would say that's probably the biggest challenge, because as far as like transporters, people that we call them puppy pal escorts, you know, folks that are willing to transport the dog, they're wonderful. I've actually never had a negative experience with a puppy pal escort. They all say they love it. It, you know, it eases the pain of leaving the Caribbean and flying back to the Northeast or whatever it is. The pup actually travels with you in the seat with you. Technically, they're supposed to be under the seat in their bag, but most flight attendants don't care. And it's on your lap and people are gaga-ing over it on the plane. So it's just a really fun, awesome experience. So I would say that. And then sometimes placements, you know, sometimes we get a last minute transport offer, like maybe I'll get one for Sunday, let's say. And I'm kind of like, well, I can't really vet an adopter by then. I might not have an adopter in the area. And a lot of the rescues are full right now, as I'm sure you've, you know, had talked with other folks about. A lot of rescues are full. So we have a lot of wonderful partner rescues, but a lot of them are full right now. So it's kind of tough sometimes to be like, I'm not going to let this pup miss out on its flight, but there's nowhere for it to go. But, you know, that's when I beg, most on Facebook beg, and a lot of times someone will step up to foster at least. Because one of the biggest things is the puppies that we transport all fly in cabin within a puppy pal escort. And once they reach the 20-pound mark, they can no longer fly. So at that point, it's a whole nother process. It's not impossible, but they have to go in the belly of the plane, and it can only go certain times of the year when the temperature is not too high. And it's more expensive, and it's just a lot of airlines stopped doing it with COVID. So we really try to get these pups out there before they reach the 20-pound mark. We try to get them on their freedom flight, because after that, it's some of them are doomed to a life on the island. You know, not always a bad thing. I you know, there are a lot of wonderful pet owners on the islands, but a lot of times they will not have the best life. So, you know, we try to get them out before they reach that 20-pound mark.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was going to ask too, is, I guess the vetting, right? I'm assuming it just doesn't come from the streets to someone's home. There's probably like some kind of vetting there. And you mentioned too, how, okay, well, it's over 20 pounds. It's going to be difficult. What's that look like for you guys?
As far as the vetting process. Yeah. So generally, generally the pups are found by either Good Samaritans or a lot of these rescue organizations that we work with. They go out and they look for them and they find them and they help them and they bring them into the shelter. So a lot of times they come into the shelter, they're treated, they get healthy, they're getting their vaccines, they plump them up a little bit because a lot of them are very skinny and some of them are sick. And, you know, we deal with the, you know, puppy issues, you know, thankfully all the islands that we work with are really good with parvo, you know, keeping, because that's very dangerous, keeping the pups, you know, free of parvo. But there's other stuff that the pups deal with. So they get them healthy. And then usually they try to get them into a foster home from there on the island. We have a lot of wonderful folks on the island that are willing to foster. So they get into a foster home to kind of see what it's like to be a dog in a home and to be a pet. And, you know, they work on potty training and stuff like that. And then from there, you know, we know they're ready and they'll fly out. And again, we try to do that before they reach 20 pounds. So sometimes pups fly that aren't potty trained and stuff like that, but folks understand that. And I just say, listen, we had to get them out before they reach that 20 pound mark. So that's kind of what it looks like.
That's really interesting to, and that's awesome. There's like so many different moving pieces to what you do. There's like the, you know, logistics side of things. Mm-hmm. And and I'm curious too, you guys have been around for, you know, a couple of years now. What are some future plans, or where do you see this going? What's your goal there?
Yeah, so actually this is a nice day to do this because we just got our letter that we're a 501c3 officially yesterday.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And we actually worked with a wonderful organization. I'll give a shout out to them. It's called Animal Defense Partnership. And it's a group of lawyers, very, very talented lawyers that do pro bono work with animal rescue organizations. And they helped us through the whole process because it can be very overwhelming filing all the paperwork and all the logistics of that. So ADP, Animal Defense Partnership, was just a wonderful organization that helped us with the legalities of everything. And they were just they were amazing, fantastic. They were so excited when we got our letter yesterday. So they helped us through the whole process. So, you know, we're official now. I really want to do some more fundraising now that COVID's hopefully settling down a little bit. I want to do some events and, you know, hopefully expand out. We work with a handful of islands that we have on a regular basis, but I want to expand out even more and, you know, just help as many dogs as we can. And hopefully I really want to help the larger dogs too, because it is heartbreaking when I see the larger dogs that are kind of stuck there. I really want to kind of think of something in order to help them a bit more. We do sometimes have these big freedom flights where it's like a huge plane and they'll take the big dogs and fly a whole bunch of them out. But that's I've actually never been personally involved in one of those. That I know it's done in from the islands, but that's very costly, a lot of logistics, but hopefully get more involved in that and helping the larger dogs to get off the island. Cause I hate to see kind of they're stuck there it's not no fault of their own that they're bigger, you know? So I want to help the larger dogs, the adult dogs, things of that nature. Cause right now we're focused really on puppies or adult dogs that are 20 pounds and under.
No, I think that's great. And it's, do you think a boat would ever be there? Is that just way too expensive?
We've actually had it, like boats go from one of the islands to like Florida. It's happened really? Before. I'm trying to think. Last summer, we had a boat take a puppy from the Virgin Islands all the way to Newport, Rhode Island. So they were going there anyway. So they just threw a couple puppies on the boat and they had a nice sail and got from the Virgin Islands up to Newport. So it was really a really nice experience. So any way we can get them to the States, you know, we're creative sometimes.
Yeah. So that's good. Mm-hmm. I think that's amazing that, what you're doing, and you just kind of saw this, you're going on vacation, you saw mm-hmm. this problem and yep. you're like, hey, what can I do about this? What can we do? Yep. And I think that's so cool. So yeah, congrats on the nonprofit status and,
thank you.
And what's your social media? Where can we all follow you at and see what sure. you guys are up to?
Yeah, so our website is CaribbeanCanineConnection.org. And then Facebook, if you just type in, I don't know what the exact address is, but type in Caribbean Canine Connection, you'll see us. It'll come up. And then on Instagram, it's at @Caribbean_Canine_Connection. And it's kind of neat if folks go on, they'll see a lot of pictures of the puppies that we've saved. And you'll see just the process. A lot of them, you see them in their little travel bags. You see them with their puppy pal escort, you know, at the airport in the island. And then you see them get off the plane. And it's just really, and a lot of times we put pictures of them on their plane. We have pictures of little puppies looking out the window. it's really cool. So I think folks will enjoy if they go on and see, and you know, it might inspire them if they're going on vacation to bring a puppy back. And like I said, it's just, so many folks have told me it's such a rewarding experience, because you know it's the end of your vacation. Most folks are bummed and depressed, but you know, saving a life at the end of your vacation, what could be better? You know, I actually had a couple coming back from their honeymoon a couple months ago, and they said it was just the perfect way to end their honeymoon, you know, saving two lives. They took two puppies back. So, and it doesn't cost them a thing. And it's, there's really nothing they have to do. They just give me their flight itinerary and we take care of everything. We book me or the rescue organization in the Caribbean books the pup spot on the plane. We organize everything. And I just say, hey, look on your Facebook Messenger or WhatsApp. We have everybody on there that's involved in the transport. Everybody talks. We have everybody, you know, on the same page. And there's really never any, you know, drama. It's just a nice, easy, fun process, and everybody really loves it. So I mean, it's if folks are traveling to the Caribbean, I can't encourage enough. Please reach out to us and save a life by bringing a puppy back on your way home. And it doesn't really matter what city you're coming back to. You know, I have rescue organizations pretty much a lot, I would say, up and down the East Coast, but we have rescue organizations. I have a wonderful one in Denver, Minneapolis. I'm trying to branch out a little bit more to the West Coast as well. We have a wonderful partner rescue organization in Charleston, and then I'm in Connecticut. So we have a lot up here in the Northeast as well. So Philly, just all over the place. So I can find a place for the pup. If you can bring the pup, I can find a placement for it, because I also have so many folks I've met through this and connected with. So if I don't know, and also we always want to send the pup to a reputable place. So if I don't know the area, I'll reach out to one of my folks that I know that's around that area, and they'll give me recommendations. So it's a fun process, and it's definitely teamwork, a lot of teamwork. It takes a village, and we have the best. We really do.
That's so awesome. And that's, and that's all your social media will be down below. Everyone check them out. I know I am going to. Allison, I want to thank you so much for just coming on and sharing what your story and what you guys do. I think it's amazing. And if I ever go to the Caribbean, I will definitely hit you guys up.
Thank you so much. Everybody spread the word. Family, friends, if they're traveling to the Caribbean, please reach out to us. And we'd love to help you to help save a life on your way home. So we really appreciate it. And thank you for giving us this opportunity. And everybody, adopt, don't shop. That's my last little
I love plug it. There. I love it.
Yep, no matter what, adopt, don't shop.
Exactly. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Chris. Appreciate you having us and the opportunity.